Friday's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for both the local church and the workplace. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe. As always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
A little over a month ago, something really weird happened. Now, it is something that I can say in public and I can say on this podcast. I did a blog post back in early November, and the blog post was very simple about what do churches do that sometimes drive away first-time guests. And I have become very, very poor at judging what readers want to read and even listeners want to hear. And so, Jonathan, you put this one out, and we waited, and boom. It was like
boom,
a
right.
tidal wave. Yeah. You can use all the metaphors you want. It got to 100,000 views and mm-hmm. 200, 300, 400, 500, now 600, and it just keeps on.
Yep.
It just keeps on growing. And I didn't realize that this was such an issue or such a, churches are really concerned about this.
I don't know if anybody else realized it was such an issue until you brought it up.
Well, I think you said that Rainer single-handedly did away with...
Well, I didn't say that.
Now, that's really not a good thing to say. But I tell you what, this is really, really fascinating.
It is.
And it makes me want to dig a little deeper to find out the why behind this. And I've got some ideas. I may even talk about them in the podcast. But you can go on and introduce them to the topic.
Okay, so we have two posts we're really going to cover. We'll put links to both of these if somehow you haven't seen these yet. The top 10 ways churches drive away first-time guests. And we're really going to stand on number one. We're going
to
go through these
real
quick.
It's hard to get off of the number one.
Yeah, number one is the one that just went absolutely insane. So let's run through the top 10 ways. Number one, having a stand-up and greet one another time in the worship service.
We'll come back to that.
We'll come back to that. Put a pin in that one. We'll be back.
Yeah, put a lot of pins in it because it's put a lot of pins in me.
750,000 of them.
Oh, wow.
Unfriendly church members.
Okay.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, unfriendly church members may be connected to number one as well.
Maybe.
Yeah, for people who come for to
But if people are unfriendly, then you're more than likely not going to come back. I mean, that's
self-evident.
Obvious. Number three, one we've talked about a pretty good bit on the facility issues, that podcast, unsafe and unclean children's areas.
And what we have said repeatedly, if churches don't get this, they're not going to get a future.
No. Nope.
Because this is the number one concern of parents, hygiene and safety.
Yeah.
And if the children's area does not have that, then they're not going to come back. So that one was self-evident.
Number four, no place to get information.
I'm going to combine four and five.
Yeah.
Five is bad church website, and then the no place to get information. The no place to get information, of course, is a physical location when you come to the church and you walk in. Now, think about any other place, business or whatever. 99% of the time you're going to walk in and you can see signage that tells you exactly where you need to be.
Customer service booth, something like that. You go to Walmart, boom, it's right there.
How can I help you? And
yeah.
The signs are up and you see maps. I'm absolutely amazed at the number of churches that do not have signage because they think all of our members know where we are.
People don't understand. They'll figure it out.
They think that since we know, they'll know.
Yes.
And then the bad church website. Now, the worst thing that you can, I think, is worse to have a bad website than no website.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You didn't see him rolling.
They're both bad.
You didn't see him rolling his eyes.
But you may be right.
But it's a bad reflection either way. But what do guests want when they come to the website?
Times, location.
That's it. You don't even have to put directions in these days. I mean, there's MapQuest and there's navigation systems. You can put directions in. You can show where it is. You can put a map. But when it's all said and done, guests want to come to the website and find out the time of services, and then they want to find out how to get there. They may want to find out something about dress and just some expectations, but overall, they want information. So first-time guests need an information center, or they need an information person.
Mm-hmm.
At the physical side of the church during a worship service, before worship service, and they need a website that gives those basic two pieces of information.
Number six was kind of related. We've kind of covered it already, but poor signage.
Yeah, poor signage, and that refers to outside signage, the church sign, so it can be seen from passersby in cars or on feet. Also within the church, I recently preached a few weeks at a church in the Nashville area, and you couldn't really find out where to get to in that church. And then a consulting group came in and said, here's what you need to do. Because when people drive up here, they don't know what to do. And when they get out of the car, they don't know where to go.
Yeah. And I remember I was talking about that because I went the first week after
After that,
we were going to that church at that time, and that consulting group came in, and I saw the signage. I was blown away. I'm like, well, hello.
There
it made a big difference.
It sure did. The worship center was hard to find otherwise. Mm-hmm. So that was number six.
Number seven, insider church language.
I think the example I gave was
WMU
will meet in the CLC where the GAs usually meet.
I know what that means.
That's really sad.
Yeah, the Women's Missionary Union will meet in the Christian Life Center where the Girls in Action usually meet.
Yeah, but you're
I'm a bit of an insider.
Yeah,
especially I used to work with the place where those are.
Yeah, and that was just one example. I mean, you can get all kind of acronyms and language, churchy language. And we're not talking theology. We're just talking communication.
Yeah.
You know, here at Lifeway, you weren't here when I first arrived, but I don't want to say I gave an edict because it makes me seem autocratic, but I gave an emphasis. And I said, no more acronyms.
Yes. There's still a lot of them around.
I mean, I know,
it's hard to get rid of them all. But at the same time, I've talked to people who've been there since, you know, when before you got here. And they said it's totally different now. It's a lot less than it used to be.
Well, I mean, someone comes up and says, where do you work? CRD? CRUD? No, that's Church Resources Division. So we still have work here at Lifeway, but churches have work to do, too.
Number eight. Boring or a bad service?
Self-evident. It might be in the worship with music. It might be in the worship through the preaching. It just might be. I was in a church in New England not too long ago, and they made the decision not to have air conditioning when they built the building. And the rationale was pretty good because there's only about 1 month out of the year that you really need it, maybe 6 weeks. I was there during then. I was very, very hot. And it was not a bad service. The preaching was good. The music was pretty good, but I was uncomfortable.
That was a distraction.
It was a bad service.
Time, especially from being in the South where everything's under air conditioning.
Air conditioning, exactly.
Pointing to that one, we did have a couple of comments. I remember this was a result of a Twitter poll. I don't think we noticed that or noted that at the top of the point.
Highly scientific with a margin of error of plus or minus 90%.
Yeah, we just tweeted it out, people, and they responded. But what I found hilarious was that there were people on both sides of the preaching issue. Some people were saying, boring expository preaching, it keeps me away. And then on the other hand, there was topical preaching that doesn't really exposit the scriptures. So
everybody had their particular slant.
Everything from one end of the spectrum to the other when it came to what people perceive as a boring or bad service.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, we are talking about some personal preference. A lot of this is personal preference, but a lot of these truths are overarching regardless of preference.
What we were trying to get was the responses of those who are visiting churches.
Yes.
A lot of the members jumped in and began to talk about their preferences as well.
Number nine, members telling guests they were in their seat or pew. Now, I've heard this from a lot of people. I've always thought it was an urban legend, kind of, just a myth.
And then they started telling the stories
and
where
then
it happened.
People, they did. And
you are.
Wow.
In fact, one of the comments was from a pastor, and he was there for the first Sunday, and he had not been introduced. And he was on the second or third row, and he had his family sitting with him. And a church member who did not know that was the new pastor
I missed that comment.
Came up and said, "You are in my seat." The pastor thought it was a joke, so he was on the third row, if I recall correctly. He thought it was a joke, so he didn't move, and the guy got in front of him and was just indignant. I just made body motions, and I realized this is a podcast.
Yeah, not video.
And the guy was just indignant and said when the introduction was made and the guy realized that the guy who was sitting in his seat was the new pastor, he said you could see him begin to slide down.
Want to get away?
So a pastor had that experience in the church.
And the final one was just dirty facilities in general. We talked about how the children's area is really important to parents, but just dirty facilities in general. You and I were in a church recently, and the facilities were just not to what we, I guess, expected or should have been.
They didn't seem clean.
I mean,
you had pews that were bursting forth.
Yes.
And that was not a theological statement. That means that they had slashes in them and cushion coming out and stuffing or whatever you call that stuff coming out. And
it was a little surprising.
And very distracting. You wondered if the church really, really cared. And you've mentioned this before. And again, there will be those. I'll have my critics. I understand that. They will say, gosh, these are such mundane issues. Let's talk about serious theological, cultural issues. I understand. But at the same time, these are people who many are not believers that are not coming back to church to hear the gospel.
Yeah.
That's where it matters to me. But you mentioned this one, lack of trash cans.
Yes, that was the same church.
You can Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was walking around trying to find a trash can, and it took me about 10 minutes. I finally found one in a bathroom, when I finally found a bathroom, because there were no signage.
Oh, wow.
It was.
You didn't go to the women's restroom, did you?
No. No, it was a men's.
Okay.
I think.
Good. Dirty facilities, places where you cannot dispose of trash, just a general unkempt feeling. That's why you and I are putting together this little video series about these issues. And not only are we going to put the video series, but I'm going to include an audit or a checklist for churches to be able to say, okay, are we doing this? This is really a matter of looking through the lens of someone else instead of yourself.
Yep. Now,
all right, here we go.
Back to number one.
Mm.
The stand up and greet one another time in the worship service. Now, this took on a life of its own.
It still has.
And we have, you wrote a follow up and a follow up and a follow up.
No, I only did a total of three.
So,
and I had one commenter say, stop it, stop it.
Well, the seven reasons people disliked the stand and greet time. We found this out in the comments quite soon after posting.
Yep.
Was many guests are introverts.
I love introverts. Yes, in fact,
you love being by yourself friends.
I want to start a movement of introverts unite, and we'll have no meetings and we'll never get to know each other. Yes. It would be one of the best movements that there is.
Go sit in a dark closet.
But let's suppose, and I've seen different numbers, Jonathan, so I'm not going to say I know for certain, but let's suppose about 4 out of 10 people have some degree of introversion that really affects them.
Mm-hmm.
I have serious introversion that really affects me, but there's some on different scales. So let's go with the number 4 out of 10. You got 4 out of 10 first-time guests or guests who may be just turned off by this greet one another time where people come and shake your hand. Hey, I got to tell you this story. This is a little diversion to the diversion. I was in my mother-in-law's church several weeks ago, and it's a little country church, and I thought maybe I could slip in without being noticed.
Yeah,
no,
you're Tom Rainer.
No way. That's part of it. And the other part, there were only 40 or 50 other people there, so I would have stood out anyway. And I had been having this discussion with my mother-in-law about the stand-up and greet time, and she says, we don't really have that in our church, so you'll be okay. And so at the beginning of the service, the pastor says, look who's here, Dr. Tom Rainer. Let's all have a stand-up and greet time, and all of y'all go stand up and greet Dr. Rainer. The whole church came to me.
This was the day after the post hit.
Oh, and it was just going absolutely crazy, absolutely crazy. And it bothered me to the hilt. So, yeah, that was that. But, yeah. There are some of us who are introverts. You're exactly right. But there are other reasons, too.
Yeah, number two, some guests perceive that the members are not sincere during the greeting. And I think this is the thing that I've picked up on the most of the seven that you listed.
Yeah, there's a sense that this is a contrived friendliness by many people.
I'm going to be friendly because the pastor just told me to be friendly.
And it is our time to be friendly. And after that time is over, we can go back to being unfriendly.
Yep.
And I think that there are a lot of guests who do perceive that.
Now, this next one, number three, that goes back to the cleanliness. And it's many guests don't like the lack of hygiene that takes place during this time. Now, this is a bigger concern, I think, during the winter months when the flu's running around and got all kind of stuff like that.
Yeah, but there are some germaphobes.
Yes, and Ed Stetzer.
Yeah, that's right. Let's suppose that 10% are germaphobes, and then let's suppose another 40% are introverts. Already you've got half of your potential first-time guests that don't like this thing for one way or another. And if you have an introverted germaphobe, they'll never come back.
And then you have the random things of you have people maybe that are huggers. I know you're a big hugger.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
But
I hug my dog and my
awkwardness there.
I hug Marley. I hug my sons, daughters-in-law, grandson, and my wife.
And that's it.
That's it.
Okay.
No, I think I hugged Michael W. Smith in chapel recently.
You did.
Yeah.
You did.
Really awkward.
Yeah, but it was
kind of a side hug.
He did that for us, so it was good. But, you know, there's just that awkwardness in of those. So, number four, many times the members only greet other members.
I see that a lot
because
I'm a guest at a church a lot because I speak, and I just walk in, and I don't introduce myself, and I'm not so famous that people really know who I am. And so I'll sit down, and it'll be time for the greeting. And they'll greet people, and I'm just standing there. Now, I like it because they're not coming up to me.
You're an introvert.
But I can tell they're just greeting each other because they know each other.
Who they probably talked to 5 minutes before the service started.
And they'll talk to after the service, and they'll hang out with. So they have their own relationship patterns.
Number five, both members and guests at some churches perceive the entire exercise as awkward.
Yeah, this was kind of a catch-all for many different things. It's awkward when people come up to you and run into you. One guy said in the comments, it was like they smelled blood and they wanted to attack. And they said, new person. And they go and attack that guy and
Smother him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number six, in some churches, the people in the congregation are told to say something silly to one another.
Oh, that one absolutely kills me. I love the comment that said, this is a first-time guest. I don't know if it's a he or she, but I think it was a he. He said, well, the pastor told us to go find someone and tell them that they are good-looking. Well, I didn't find anyone, so I left the service.
Yeah.
I just thought that was classic.
Wasn't in my church then.
I recently went on, what is that boat ride here
in
Nashville?
The General Jackson Showboat.
I went on the General Jackson Showboat. Lived in Nashville almost a decade, never been on it. Understand. And I was on the General Jackson Showboat, and this guy who is kind of the MC entertainer, as we began, he says, y'all all stand up and tell those people around you, you sure are good looking. I took a restroom break. I didn't know where the restroom was.
You told Nellie Joe, though.
Well, I tell her that frequently, but I got out from there. I mean, it was just really, really uncomfortable. Those silly things. Tell them this, tell them that.
Or I've seen probably the worst one is whenever they try to you do this a lot at conferences, and they'll stand up, turn to your neighbor, everybody, you know, turn the same way and, like, give the person in front of you a quick 5-second neck rub or something, massage.
Oh, gosh, if that would happen. You know, I'm a person, if I get in a fight, I'll probably lose, but I'd have to hit somebody. I just have to hit somebody. They start rubbing my neck.
So we won't be doing that at chapel at Lifeway anytime soon.
You reckon?
All right, so next, then the final reason was that not only do some guests dread the stand and greet time, so do some members.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just guests.
Yeah, let's again say that those who are part of a church that have a stand and greet time, they are 50-50. Well, now you got 50% of the members, you got probably 90% of the guests who really don't like it. And what happened here, Jonathan, this ended up being a battle royal over the internet on the blog post, and the debate ensued. But I have to say, overwhelmingly, if you look at the preponderance of evidence, we really need to consider this whole thing.
Yeah.
We need to reconsider whether we are doing it or not. I know a guy that's thinking about starting a church, and he's praying about it and contemplating on it. And you know, if he were to ask me for, you know, one piece of advice of what I would give him, I'd say a lot of things, but one of them would be consider strongly the stand up and greet thing if you ever want me to visit that church. If you ever want me to be there.
Okay, so let's finish this up. I got a few questions for you. They're not on the sheet here.
Are you suggesting to our audience that we have cheat sheets?
Well, we have the posts.
There you go.
That's about it. We have a script that we sometimes follow.
Yeah.
But the origination of this is obviously the passing of the peace.
Yes, which is a very liturgical thing.
And we're not saying that get rid of liturgy.
That's correct.
We're not saying you need to get rid of this in your church either. Correct.
Okay.
Yes. We're not saying that, thus says Tom Rainer, that church greeting time needs to end.
Yeah, we're saying to evaluate it.
Yes. Because I would surmise, and again, we don't know these numbers. There are probably 10% of churches out there that don't do this and thought this was a silly post and like, what is he talking about?
For certain.
And, you know, we've never done that. I don't understand why you would want to do that. I'm with them. But then there's 10% where it probably works really well. We had a lot of people comment, hey, this is great at our church. We really love it.
And just keep in mind, those were the members, though.
Those were the members. But they're probably, you know, it's a group on the other end that does it really well, and it's okay, and it works in that context.
Right.
There's that big middle ground, though, that's what this resonated with.
And to all churches, I would say this, and this is one of the reasons we're doing this resource for churches. To all churches, I would say this, all church leaders, I don't want to personify buildings. To all church leaders, I would say, at all times, look through the eyes of others in your church. Mm-hmm. You can get so used to the way you do church and the way the church looks and the way you do worship that you really don't know why you do church. So I would say this, do an evaluation. Maybe look at that audit that we make available in this and do this checklist. And when it's all said and done, you might do things differently because it will be more effective, not only worship for all of those who are believers there, but also for reaching those who are attending first time or second time.
One final word of caution.
Yes.
And I want you to expound on this. Something we heard a lot in the comments. We've been told, or this is in quotes, we've been told that our church is the friendliest in town. We saw that over and over and over and over by people, you know, who do this, and they seem to do it well. But I would ask, every pastor probably hears that at some point, that we are the friendliest church in town.
When I did consultations, every leader told me that I can remember, and most of them were of declining churches.
Because you only hear the positives.
That's right.
So somebody comes with somebody that already know, oh, they're so friendly. Well, they already knew you.
Yep, and I did a blog post on that, and you can put a link to that as well, because that is another issue. Well stated.
So,
wow, that exhausts me.
Yeah, that was a quite a big post for us, and you know, thanks to all who read and shared, and
absolutely
closing in on like 100,000 shares on Facebook, which just blows my mind. So,
and about 750,000 views.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, thank you all for reading and interacting, and you know, it was great. It took off because of the people who are reading, so we thank you.
I love the readers, and I love the listeners, some of the greatest folks around.
So this podcast has been brought to you by Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary's Doctor of Ministry program. If you want more out of your ministry, want to study with a world-class faculty, and need to stay where you currently serve, the DMIN at Southeastern is the answer for you. Visit sebts.edu/DMIN. For more information. That'll do it for this week's episode of Reign Our Own Leadership. Any final closing thoughts?
Wrote a book not too long ago called I Am a Church Member. The whole premise of I Am a Church Member was think of the other instead of yourself. One of the reasons that we put this material out and allowed the debate to ensue like it did is church members should be thinking about the other, especially the guest. That is my last word of encouragement, Jonathan.
Thanks for joining us this week on Reign Our Own Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us online at tomreiner.com.